I think I mentioned earlier that we would be talking about Joseph, while I lied. Not on purpose, but we want to deal in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Either with Joseph or with Daniel's three friends. Wonderful characters, and I think as we study Old Testament characters, New Testament characters, even as we spent a couple of days with Paul in Acts chapter 16 and 17 the other night, we can be benefited and encouraged by what they went through. As I mentioned earlier this week, that at reading about old-timey, my great aunt used to say old-timey preachers back in the 1800s, early 1900s, and to see what they went through to preach the gospel, how they did it, what they sacrificed. It is encouraging. And it makes us more bold, which reminds me of a passage in the book of Philippians. In chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul said, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Bold leaders make bold followers, don't they? And likewise, scaredy cats create scaredy cats. Makes us back off when we are afraid. Well, these three boys, they are awesome. And as was Joseph, with just so much material to talk about. And you understand, they've been taken from their homes, from their families, from all they know, and they are now in a foreign land, as God said that they would be. If they were disobedient to his commands, he said, it's not going to be pretty. The prophets warned, and the people said, we don't want to hear that repent or perish preaching. And that's true today, isn't it? A lot of people don't want to hear negative preaching of what might happen if we don't do what, or what will happen if we don't do what we're supposed to do. And along with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, their Babylonian names, they are servants, but they are still, as Joseph was, with God. They didn't leave their religion when they were taken from home, and they did not say, well, if this is the way it's going to be, then just forget God. A lot of people do that today. They go on vacation for a few days, and Sunday comes by, and Sunday goes by, and they don't worship. Shame on them. And you don't do that, do you? You find a place to worship, and you're not even taken captive. We are so free to be able to find a place to be able to do that. But they continue to worship God, no matter what the circumstances, and under the fear of death. So we begin in Daniel chapter 3, and you're aware of what's in chapters 1 and 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the interpretation thereof. And this great king, his father's name was Nabopolassar, and they had taken Assyria, and Nebuchadnezzar, after his father's death, took over the rule and the reign of Babylon. And now Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, when sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. This first section we could entitle it as a faith being challenged. What if our government set up a religion and that all must worship this religion? It would be a challenge, wouldn't it? Let me ask you, what would you do? We know, you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. But we can see in these boys maybe what we ought to be like if that occurs, and it may. As we talked about our nation last night, the direction we're heading, somebody's going to be taken captive. And some are going to die. So he sets up this image and calls all of the notable people together. Verse 3, then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A kind of centralized worship. And what he's going to do, I'll tell you before he tells us, that he's calling everybody together, all the notables. You know, when something happens, even in Peyton City with our one stoplight, when something happens in our town, they never call me. And I'm not too notable in the town. But here, Nebuchadnezzar wants all of the provinces to know, so he calls all the leaders together. And they're going to take this knowledge back home, but they're going to have to do it. Verse 4, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down shall get a bunch of lawyers and bargain with the law. Is that what it says? No. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I want you to picture this fiery furnace. Picture an igloo with a fire inside. Well, you know what would happen. But it's a building shaped like that with a hole on top. And also a place, a door, that they can call the wood in, build fire, but it's the chimney and the hole on top. And there's where they throw their victims in from the top, with that fire roaring out. So you can picture this burning in the very hour. There will be no delays. You won't be bargaining and go on for years and be on death row for 20 or 30 years. No. You don't bow, you're going to burn. Anticipation of that would cause you to do what? If you're like these fellows here, if you don't bow, you're going to burn in the very hour in a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, verse 7, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. It appears to be thousands of people there. This was a notable event. And their faith, whatever faith they have been in, whatever idols they are worshiping, it's all changed to this one now. And whenever you hear the sound of the musical instruments, you're going to fall down and you're going to worship. And like birds of a feather, boom, they drop. And then the second section, beginning in verse 8, after your faith is challenged, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, somebody's going to tell on you. You know that? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Now that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I think one thing that, one reason that they did is because of verse 49 in chapter 2. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So here are four Jews, four foreigners that were being lifted up in position and power. Imagine four foreigners coming in and taking over where you might be, your place. How are you going to feel about that? Maybe a little bit of jealousy. So as soon as they find out that these three are not bowing before this image, off they go to the king. Verse 9, they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. This was the greeting. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And if I'm the king, I'm sitting there, that's what it is. Yep. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I'm still great. Yep, that's what it said. Well, verse 12, there are certain Jews, set over the affairs of the provinces, and we won't name the names, of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, what would happen? These are three very important men now in his kingdom. Remember what happened to Vashti? When she refused to do what the king said, the men said, you can't let this go on. Because all the women in all the prophets, all the kingdom, will rebel. If she gets away with it, then they'll also be dismissed her as queen. And so, they are saying, you're going to have to do something about these boys. If you let them get away, just like children in a home, you let one child get away with it. If my brother had been able to get away with some things, I was always glad to have an older brother, because he tried to go where angels feared to tread, and he lost every time. And I, not being too smart, but I'm thinking, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that little dance with the belt. So, they said, you're going to have to do something. And they knew what was the penalty. They're not bowing, so they're going to burn. Okay. They're not listening to you. They're not serving your God or the golden image which you have set up. Any of your gods. So far, so good. I might be able to handle, okay, the nation does, you know, okay, they announce they're going to, we're going to have to worship. And here's the penalty. But would I stand when everybody else is bowing? Or would I say, well, hey, God, I know, and you know that I know, that, you know, I know that this big golden image here isn't anything but just that. And so, when I bow down, that, you know, I'm not bowing before it, could I rationalize like that? And get on my knees and bow, and be thinking, well, we were okay? Would that be alright? No. You see what courage? They already are showing courage, aren't they? And one thing I think we as brothers and sisters in Christ, do we need each other? We are called the body of Christ, you know, in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And we all care for each other. Did those three boys need each other? Yes, we need each other as strength and encouragement. Though I believe that had they been alone, they would have stood alone, as Joseph did, and others. But it is encouraging to have others with you. And now their faith is being threatened. They come to your door and say, come here, you're going to go see the king. You're not thinking, well, I wonder what for. You know what for. You know what for. When the king heard this, verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Rage. You know, you've seen somebody that's angry, and you've seen somebody in a rage. He doesn't sit there and say, oh, I'm so mad. That's not a rage. This king let everybody, that's going to filter down. Boy, was he upset. In his rage and fury, commended them, break up here. And now the trial begins, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I will compliment him. Usually in a rage and a fury, you don't do too many things smart. Have you, when you've been angry, have you said, boy, that was a smart thing I did when I was angry? That's the reason to watch yourself. Solomon said, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So when you see that, and in yourself, you can just write L-O-O-L on your forehead. Well, no, you won't have to do that because everybody's going to know. Spend no time, Solomon said, with an angry man. All right. So by the time they get these boys there, perhaps he's calmed down and he's asking them some rational questions. Is it true? And maybe Nebuchadnezzar realized, you know, there just might be just a tad bit of jealousy with these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, and want to get rid of these three guys because if they're gone, then I can move up. So is it true that you're not falling down, you're not worshiping the image? And verse 15, it gives them a second chance. Now, if you'd be ready at that time, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, lute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, great. Give you a second chance. But if you worship not, you shall be cast into the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Did he know of a God that could deliver anybody out of a burning fiery furnace? None of his idol gods. Like we talked about the pulpit, or the lectern here being the our God. Can that protect us from anybody? If we called it our God? No. We pray to it, and remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? They were cutting themselves so the blood gushed out. Not just a little razor nick. Scars on their arms and their bodies. Did their God hear them? No matter how long they cried, how loudly they cried, and the mocking that Elijah gave them. Oh, I know why. He's probably sleeping. Oh, no, he's talking to somebody. Your God. So yell a little louder. We used to have a cheer like that. If you can't hear it, yell a little louder. Didn't work. Not to those gods. So he said, there's no God that can protect you from my burning fiery furnace. Now put yourself in their sandals. You're standing before the king. You and two others. Well, I've come this far and he's given us a second chance. I might say, okay. I mean, he's my back off of the stand that I've been taking, burning fire furnace ahead, and it won't be long, I'll be dead. Would you be thinking that? You could. Here's my chance to get out. So, there's no God that can protect you. Well, they answer. And what they say is, there's no need to bargain with you. We're not going to do what you say. We don't care. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not worried. Could you say that? What did Peter say? 1 Peter 5. Verse 7 is, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. If that day were to come, if our nation is overtaken, and we survive their onslaught, and we become their servants, and they demand that we bow before their God, and live, or not bow and die, what do you think? Oh, please let me help. Oh, don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Would you do that? Or have you cast all your care on him before he careth for you? Are we hand-wringers? I think we talked about the other night. Are we hand-wringers? A lot of people taking medication today unnecessarily because they're not depending on God. Worried about the economy, worried about the money they've got in the bank, where it's going to go. Remember when the billionaire died? Used to be a millionaire when I was a little boy. The billionaire died, and the question was asked in his funeral, how much do you leave? What's the answer? Yes. Three words. All of it. And you know what you'll do? Understand? You're going to give it all. And how Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is a bummer. Is that what he said? Philippians 1:21. To die is gain. I'm going where I want to go. I'm just getting there faster. Thank you. What if you were trying to put somebody to death and they were thinking, and they were saying, singing praises to God? Oh, great. Hey, did you know when Christians marched into the arenas, a lot of the audiences couldn't understand why they were singing? It kind of ruined the party. They were going to their death and not, not running, scared, dying. No, they were going home. So they answered, we're not worried about you. With all your great might and power, your gold and glistening and your soldiers and your servants. No, sir. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fire, burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. You know, either way, heads we win, tails we win. If we die, we win. If we live, we win. There's a powerful king that's powerless. They just answered him in a way that... So their faith has been challenged, their faith has been accused, and now their faith has been threatened. Remember when the apostles, they began to preach, they began to receive threats? They threatened them, and they prayed in Acts chapter 4, behold their threatenings. Ask God for them. You know their threatenings. And you know what they prayed for? Help us to be more bold. Help us not to run and hide, but help us to be more bold. That's why in Acts 8 and verse 4, after Saul's persecution, Stephen's death, they didn't run and hide. They said, shh, don't tell anybody. What'd they do? They went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word under fear of death. Under fear of death. Remember when the blind man was healed in John chapter 9? Who were they afraid of? The parents. For fear of the Jews. These were bloody, religious people. And the Catholic Church carried that on them. So these three young men, faithful to God, challenging their faith, accusing their faith being threatened, and they're responding to the king. They were not intimidated. And you cannot hurt us. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was embarrassed. You ever get mad when you're embarrassed? You can do that. I remember in school, somebody knocked your books out of your hand, going down the hallway in high school. Some kids got out of control and a big fight started. Full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, I never had to ask my mom and dad, Mom, are you mad? Ooh, wrong thing to say. I mean, you could tell. I could tell how they walked across the floor. My bedroom was upstairs. I could tell how they came up the stairs. And then I heard my dad burning fiery furnace, his belt. You ever hear a belt come out? It's loose. Oh, mommy. And we began to pray. Too late. He left. That was scary enough, let alone this. And this powerful answer. These are words that we can just read over. Yeah, I know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Burning fire, burning. Blah, blah, blah. Put yourself in their place. And they didn't get this faith and this courage that day, did they? It was there. And if you don't have it, when the trial comes, you will fall down and you will bow. Because you've already done it. You've already given it. Okay, so far so good. They're standing up to this king and he not liking it one bit, full of fury. And you tell somebody's mad. He commanded that they should heat the furnace room 7 times more than it was wont to be. Now what does that mean?
Make it as hot as you can.
Now. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. They're bound. And these mighty men, you can picture this, there's these soldiers, these huge, powerful, his strongest men. And these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I don't know if this is so. One commentator said that it was a custom that their garments were taken from them. And if they were worth anything, they were given to others. Or they took it, and they had prison garb on. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took them up the igloo. You got that picture? You ever hear a fire? I worked at Caterpillar Tractor, and they had the heat treat furnaces. And I walked by one day, and the fellow opened that huge door, and it was horrible, and I got to look in that. You know what I pictured? This right here. Well, you can do it if you have a wood stove. I won't have much use for them down here. But your mind can go there. And you've seen it. And you can hear this fire. The king is so mad. And he loses his soldiers. His bravest, strongest soldiers in the fire, because they're taking them up and casting them into the burning, fiery furnace. 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Did they pass the test? This is the test. I might have walked up there on the way up. But I've seen people, as they had in movies, the old-timey movies, where James Cagney, one of the women, they take him to the electric chair or the gas chamber or someplace, and he starts screaming. I'm telling you. Now you think about the fear, but they passed the fear. And go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And Jesus, we talked about earlier this week, looking unto Jesus last Saturday night. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Could we say that about these three boys? Who for the joy that was set before them endured the burning, fiery furnace. See, the devil can blind you to your treasures on earth, your house, your car, your clothes, your kids. Jesus said, he that loveth father, mother, brother, sister, more than me. Anything is not worthy of me. You have been blinded to this world, and your treasures are here. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What's verse 21 say? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is here, if their treasure have been in earthly things, and we're going to lose our position, and we just came here in verse 49 of chapter 2. Oh, we're going to lose all of that. Oh, man. And we'll never get to go back home. Oh, that's earthly treasure thinking. And they did not think that way. The soldiers died, and maybe died on top of the igloo or the furnace. And these men, boom, fell down into the burning fiery furnace. And this section is a triumphant faith section. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was amazed, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king, if they were pretty brilliant. And I picture that the king has a front row here, and there's a big door where they're carrying the logs in here to start the fire, throw the wood in, and he's sitting out there far enough away from it, but close enough that he can see inside. He was sitting there, and so he rose up in haste and said, didn't we cast three men into the fire? Yes, 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 you did. And he answered and said, 25, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We cast it, he said, didn't we? Yes, but I see four. And what were they doing? They were loose and walking about. Walking about. I used to be so brave, we used to get to burn leaves. Or they said, oh, give us a law that we couldn't do that. And I got so brave that I'd run and jump over the leaf pile. Wow. Then my granddad taught me about a candle. You know, you run your finger through the flame. I showed my girlfriend, about 8 years old. You know what I didn't do? Bad news. Like I told you about that book of matches I struck the other night. That last one that lit on my finger. I won't do that again. No. They were bound. Cast into the fire. Now they're loose. Wrote an article 100 years ago about an air-conditioned furnace. That's it. God air-conditioned that furnace. You think your faith can't take you somewhere? You may not be able to see past where you're going. You don't know the rest of your story and what your faith will do, but their faith still talks to them. It talks to me. As Abel in Hebrews 11, verse 4, though he's dead, he still speak. Can your faith so speak that no matter what you have to go through, there's a sister got her leg caught in the door. Okay. Did she know that day that it was going to happen? No. We don't know what's happened to us. And some of us have lived long enough to have been through a few trials, haven't we? With our children, with our grandchildren, our parents. Things that if we had to, we wouldn't really rather choose. Will you turn against God? Okay, God, I've had enough. And people quit the church. Like I heard a boy say one day, I'll show that teacher, I'll ready for her old test. Who was he hurting? Show her. No. Okay, God. Thank you too much. Why me, Lord? Oh, Chris Thompson wrote 40 years ago. Their faith was triumphant. They went through the test. Let me ask you, how will you do? Will you go through the test that's ahead of you? Whatever it is. I might be thinking, yes, boy, I sure would. But when it comes, head on, bam! Will you do the right thing? Can't get this way. Get mentally ready. Yes, I will. I refuse to concede to the devil and his will because I don't want him to have me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't give anything for me. And God did. And I know John 3:16 is an off-quoted passage, and everybody, even people who don't go to church, know John 3:16. But they don't know what that love involved. Well, he was God, and he knew it was still his son, his beloved son that he sought, and he did it for me. I've forgotten the name of the man who was 81 years old who said, I've been got the Lord's servant burned at the stake. Remember his famous character that I can no longer. Come on, guys, throw it out to me. The fellow who was burned at the stake and told the Lord, he said, how can I go against the God that has done so much for me? But anyway, it'll come to us. 46 years have I served him, and I'm not going to change now. He said, these boys, these guys could have said, I've got the rest of my life ahead of me. I'm still young. It didn't bother them. And the king is standing before the burning fiery furnace, looking in and asking questions. Then he came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, verse 26, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Then, only then, did they come out. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You can't walk by a fire. Be close to it, not, don't get in. But walk by it, and you go in the house, and somebody, it gets on your clothes. Which reminds me, three of my friends one night went with me in my dad's car to a movie. One of them brought cigars. Well, they did. I'm telling you, I walked in my back door, and my mom was standing in the kitchen, and the door went boom behind me. And she asked, what have you been doing? Didn't Moses say you be sure what? Your sin will find you. Mom, I promise you, I didn't smoke. I did not smoke. My friends did. I never was so glad in my life that I had obeyed her. And I still remember her face of the relief. Back to the smoke. Just a cigar smoke. Or burning a leaf smoke or a fire. You walk by, its smell is going to be on you. And if you're in a fire, I lit a water heater. And it, when I lit it, the gas went. And I smelled this Ooh, what's that awful smell? Went up, had a flat top, and I had enough hair. Went up to the bathroom. Eyebrows were gone. Eyelashes were gone. Front of mine. Whew. Now, that's the first thing he goes. Not a hair on their head was singed. No smell on their clothes. Nothing. And no power on them. Then, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Underline that. They trusted in him. Do you? There's a lot of pulls today to go away from God. Are we really doing what's right? Are we making the stand that God wants us to make? Am I what I ought to be? Begin to question and doubt yourself. They trusted in him. Remember back in verse 15? Nebuchadnezzar asked at the end of that verse, Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? He just met. But if they had not stood up to the king, and not only did the king need him, but all those counselors, all of those captains, and all of those princes, and all of those governors, you think they didn't take that back home? So their faith is triumphant, and so will yours be. Johnny Cash sang a song a long, long time ago that said they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. They would not bow to the king's God. They would not bend to his rules. And they were so tough that they would not burn in the fire. And the implication is, if you don't bow and you don't bend, then you won't burn. You remember that? You don't bow to the gods of this world. Don't bend to their laws. Don't break God's. Then you won't burn. Will it be worth it? Only the burning there is not temporary. If you lose. If you bow and you bend, you will burn. There will be no exit. No exit to that furnace. And that furnace is not air conditioned. Okay? Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. We can take that and march with it and have changed the king's word. That never happened. Whatever the king said, that was what was done. Remember later in chapter 6 with Daniel and the lion's den. The law that had been made could not be changed. But this king's law, his word, had been changed, and they yielded their bodies. Nobody does that. Nobody yields their body. Nobody. He didn't know anybody. Remember what happened in the early part of the chapter when they blew the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer? What did everybody else do? Boom! Hit the ground. And nobody do that? Well, remember as a child, young people, you ever use that? Well, everybody's doing it. And you know what my folks say? If everybody jumped off a cliff at you, and I said, well, I'll never say that. Oh, guess what? My children came along, and I said the same thing. Ah, sounded good to me. They might have laughed on the inside. Yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. How you doing? Then their faith is vindicated, and so will I be. You reckon you're going to have a bad period in heaven? I'm not sure that living for God was. You reckon heaven's going to have a bad time? You know, you have bad days here. So heaven might be a little period where you think, oh, I don't know, I could have a lot more fun on earth, but. No, you won't go there, will you? Not in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 4, we talk about that. Lord willing, tomorrow night. Wow. Their faith is vindicated. Therefore, the king says, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, garbage pit, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Is that still true? Is there any God that can deliver like that? Could that thing? Isaiah 44, Isaiah talking about idol gods. He said, you heat yourself with part of it, you cook your food with part of the tree that you cut down, and then you make a god out of the rest of it. David said in Psalm 115 and 135, he said, they have eyes but can't see, throats but can't talk, hands but they can't do anything, feet but they can't walk. He said, they that make them are like their gods. Deaf, dumb, blind, and everything other adjective. Then, verse 30, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Abednego. Will we be promoted? If we do what they did, shake your head this way. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For what? Great. I can't even imagine how great it's going to be. Our country is great. Beautiful. Gotten to see, driving that night, coming down here, beautiful sunsets. Oh, man, you all have a horizon. We got mountains in the mountain state. Somebody told us before we moved there, it doesn't get daylight until about noon, because we're so far down in the valley. But beautiful, beautiful things, beautiful sights. You drive away, go see the mountainous area. And I hope you take advantage of the beautiful flowers. Do you do that? You take time to smell the roses? I mean, literally. The beautiful birds. The water, if you go by a lake and just, wow, God. The sky. Is there anything more beautiful than that blue and then the white clouds of gold? What is heaven going to be like? The king promoted them. Will God promote us? Had they bowed before his God, would they have been promoted? Not like this. If we bow before the gods of this world, will we be promoted? No, quite a demotion, right? So you be sober, you be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You've seen that on Discovery Channel. You've seen that little animal being devoured. That's not a pretty picture. That's what he wants to paint to us. Peter does as well. In 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22, the dog returning to his vomit. We're going to go eat here. You're going to ruin my appetite. That's what he wants to do. He wants to ruin your appetite for the world. And somebody told me, he said, oh, that dog is bad. That sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. that's not as bad as that dog. I said, you don't know what mire is, do you? I'd have to work one week as an electrician, up to my knees in mire. So, no, they're both equal. Mire and the dog. Sickening sights. You go back, you give up, you give in, you throw in the towel. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. If, conditional, our salvation is conditional, you can lose it. As Peter says, reserved in heaven for you, but you can lose your reservation. If you bow before the gods of Israel. When you read Daniel chapter 3 again, let it jump off the page at you. And pretend that you were one of them. See how you're doing in comparison. Or as Paul and Silas and Peter and John and all these other brave souls. I just didn't have enough time to do Joseph justice in 1 hour. If you can read the life of Joseph beginning in Genesis 37 and you don't cry, then you haven't been paying attention. There are several times in those chapters that you can't read because of the blur. And God put them in there. Paul said for us, things which were written before time were written for our learning. Wonderful examples of power. And they're not mythical characters. They're not Batman and Robin or whatever the characters are today. Real people that walked on the earth, that breathed, that hungered, as Jesus did. And survived, and so can we. Who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You endure your cross. You take it up daily. You take your cross up there and walk with the Lord. What was the song?
300 and...
300. All right. Maybe the ones in this audience that I think most of us are children of God, but if not, take a stand with, as these boys did, and know that it will be a battle. The Lord tells us. He didn't say, well, I'll become a Christian and everything will just flow just fine. There'll be no... He didn't say that. He introduces the persecution. Peter said, for you are unto where you call. Peter 2, verse 20, to a life of suffering. Paul did. Jesus did. Others have. And let us follow in suit. We're in good hands.